Lord has blessed us with another year to serve and worship Him. I'm glad that you are here today. Before we get into looking at 2018 and what we have planned for ourselves here at Cary and certainly for the Lord's work, I want to say thank you. As we look back over 2017, I think there was a lot that we have accomplished for the Lord's church, that we've seen growth, we've seen individuals added to the body of Christ, we've seen souls that have been restored, and that, of course, all glory and honor is given to God for that. I want to thank our elders for their guidance and their leadership over this past year that has got us to this point. I want to thank our deacons for the great work that they've done behind the scenes and planning classes and instructing and teaching and building work and all of the many things, benevolence, and all the things that go on many times that we don't see, to thank our deacons and the great work that they do. I also want to thank our elders, their wives, and our deacons' wives for sharing your husbands to do the work and allowing them to do the work, but also being their support system and standing by them as they labor in the Lord's kingdom. But I also want to thank Julie, even though she probably wouldn't want me to. Her eyes just got really big. But I could not do my job without Julie. She does a great job in keeping me straight, keeping me in line, but also many of the wheels that get oiled because of her and the many things that she does behind the scenes. And she's a great worker and a great co-worker, and I'm grateful to have her working with me here as we continue to do the work. But I also want to thank you. Thank you for the great work that you've done this year. Thank you for the hours that you put in your Bible study and hopefully in your devotion and helping to continue to raise your family in the Lord as we push forward into this next year that the Lord has blessed us with in 2018. And for that, I'm grateful, and I hope that we continue to stand side by side as we labor in the Lord's kingdom together. I want to thank Daryl for the great job that he did with our planning and workbook and putting this together. This is not an easy task to get this book in line and to have it ready to put it out for us to have for 2018, that we have this planning guide that's going to help us kind of show our vision and what we have planned and our goals and what they are for 2018. So I'm grateful for the work he did in putting that together and for Julie coordinating that, to Brian Newberry for the great job that he did in proofing and texting that. He tore this book apart, and it made me look really bad for my grammar. But I'm grateful for that and the hours he put in to make sure that it looked good and all the work that went into this. But thank you for the elders and your vision and for your guidance with this that's going to lead us to continue to serve the Lord and to be successful for His kingdom, because that's the ultimate thing that we want to accomplish. Everything that we do for the Lord's church is for His glory and for His Son, and we need to always remember that. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom of Christ. And that's what we want to talk about this year as we begin to build on the foundation that we're going to be looking at in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, and that we understand there is no foundation that which is laid than which is Jesus Christ. No foundation that any man has ever put down is stronger than the foundation that is found in Jesus Christ, and that He is our bedrock upon which everything is going to be built. And upon everything that we want to accomplish this year, that we understand Christ is the foundation for all of it. And as we build upon these things, and as we talk about our book here in just a moment of what we want to accomplish each quarter as a family here at Cary, individually, as families at home, and how we strengthen ourselves in Christ, it's important then to go back to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10 and notice what Paul says in the last part of that verse. But he said, "Let each one of you take heed how you build on that foundation." You see, there's an improper way to build upon the foundation which God has given us, His Son being the head of the body of Christ. And if it's not built correctly, as Jesus alludes to in His parable, we're simply building a foundation of what we consider our faith and our bedrock on sand. And brethren, that house is not going to stand. If we want it to be solid, if we want it to be firm, if we want it to be the rock that we just sang about, Jesus has to be at the center and the core of that foundation. So as we build upon that foundation this year, as we talk about building up our spiritual homes and increasing our faith and adding to our faith, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, as we build upon that foundation, remember, always remember as we go through this year, Christ is that foundation. So this year we're going to do things a little bit different than we did last year with our book. Last year we had our theme, which is laying up our treasures in heaven that the elders had set out. And certainly that was very important for us to help us grow, because we know, as Paul talks about, leaving things behind and reaching forth, which is our prize in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. So last year, as we laid up our treasures, each month we looked at a specific topic and how we wanted to lay up our treasures to help us be better Christians. But this year, again, we're going to bring it back to the core of Jesus Christ as our foundation. So we're going to look at it almost like if we're building a house, because we are building our spiritual home. So you'll notice in our book, each quarter, there's a different way in which we're going to go about building that home and designing what God wants us to have. So as you go to page 12, I think is where it is in our book, talks about the design of God's ultimate design for our life as His children. So as you look at this, the plan is laid out for us exactly how God wants us to design His spiritual home for the family. And of course, Christ being at the center of that, God at the foremost of all of those things, but to understand that God has set aside in His Word a specific design for the home. Not what man says, not what some self-help book says at Barnes & Noble, what the Bible says, that home, that house, for us individually as Christians, since the beginning of time, God has said this is the way it has to be. This is the design. The problem is, man messes it up when they come in and try to change the blueprint. And brethren, we can't do that. We've got to take that which God has laid for us in His Word. It makes us complete. It makes us perfect, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And that design is exactly what it should be. So once we see God's design, the next thing we want to look is the value of that design that God has given us. Just as if you were going to build a home, you want to know what that home is worth. You want to know what it's worth to you, especially if something, God forbid, should happen to your home. What is that home going to be worth to us, spiritually speaking? So as we get into our spring quarter, starting in April, as we begin to look at God's design, as that begins to unfold, then we're going to see what that design is worth to us and what heaven is going to be worth for us as we push toward the mark of getting to heaven. So then after we look at the design and the value, we want to look at what we must do to construct in building our spiritual homes as we get into the summer months. And that's where we get down into the nitty-gritty of God's design for the home. That is, we have to roll up our sleeves, guess what, and we have to get our hands dirty. And you have to be willing to work if you're going to have the design, the value, and the home that God wants you to have. It's not easy sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't go according to plan. Guess what? Sometimes there's going to be bad weather days when nothing's going to get done in your home. And sometimes your home is probably even going to be in disarray. But that doesn't mean that God won't allow you to get it back to the way He wants it to be. And then finally, as we get into the winter months toward the end of next year, we're going to take ownership of that home. We're going to occupy what God wants us to have and how we better understand what He needs us to have for us to be successful in the Lord's church and to be successful in our homes, to be successful in all aspects of our life, is to take ownership of what God wants us to have and not to be ashamed of what God has designed and given to us. So that's kind of how we want to lay out our year as we look at 2018 and how we want to be successful here at the Cary congregation. And the only way that we can be successful is if you're willing and ready to work. If you're not willing and ready to work, don't be surprised if 2019 rolls around and there's nothing that's been improved in your home. Sometimes we have to do a little spring cleaning, don't we, in our spiritual homes. Sometimes we have to throw out some things that are keeping us from moving forward. Sometimes we have to continue to grow. Sometimes we have to reflect and look back, as Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12, of looking inwardly. So as we consider all these things this year of building on that foundation, Christ is the center of that foundation, but we have to remember how we build upon that foundation and how extremely important that is. So today, for just a few moments, I want to talk about, as we begin to lay this foundation, about spiritual maturity. Everybody in this room is at a different level of maturity when it comes to your spirituality as a Christian. And in and of itself, that's not necessarily a bad thing. If you're a new child in Christ, you're going to be different or not as far along in your spiritual development as somebody who's been in the church for 20 or 30 or 40 years. But though sometimes that's not always relevant either, is it? Because sometimes we have people in the church who have been members of the church for 40 years but are still on the milk of God's Word rather than the meat. So when you think about the aspect of spiritual maturity, sometimes we don't gauge it the way God gauges it. Many times we look at external factors rather than looking at internal factors that the Bible talks about. Have you ever heard somebody say this? Maybe they've said it to you. Oh, why don't you grow up? Or you should really act your age. You ever heard somebody tell you that? I've had people, my wife tells me that sometimes. Act your age. In relation to our spiritual maturity, there's not really an age for that. Now, we grow in development as we get older. When I was in college, I had to take a psychology class, and this professor told us there's 9 different stages of development that we go through. Neonatal being about 1 month and younger, all the way till about 70 plus, where it's, I think it's called the selenium, is that age where you get into that developmental or that senior age, as they call it. But I don't need to go to college and take a psychology class to know as we get older, we all go through different stages in life, right? We grow differently. We develop differently. Some are more mature than others. Some have more wisdom than others. Some have more application of knowledge, which applies to wisdom. We're all at different stages of our life. None of us are exactly the same. But God does expect for us to be spiritually mature. And with that, it takes time and development, but it also takes us being workers in the Lord's church. You know, we're told to rightly divide the word, to teach it accurately, to not be ashamed of what God has given us, and that requires maturity. And that requires us reflecting on what God has instructed us to do. You know, because we all grow at different levels, we want to grow to a, hopefully, as we mature as Christians, to get to a certain point, not where we say we're done, because we're never done growing as Christians, but where we feel like we're reaching what God wants us to be concerning our potential. And that we're developing the potential that God wants us to have. Because sometimes I think we get stagnant in our spiritual maturity when the going gets tough, so to speak. And so what we do is we sit back and we develop what you've heard me say, that Peter Pan syndrome, and that we never grow up or develop past what God wants us to be and where He expects us to be in that spiritual development. And we get lazy. God doesn't like or appreciate laziness in His house. So we have to remember that being a Christian requires work on our part, that we continue to grow in the Word thereby, as the Bible tells us in 1 Peter. So for us to mature and grow as Christians, we've got to start with the proper foundation, which is Jesus Christ. You see, maturing is a process that requires time and that we have to be patient. Again, when I took this psychology class and they were telling us all of these different developmental stages that we have to go through, my whole point of it was we start out as a young child, we're altricial as we grow, that is, we have to be taken care of, we're taught, we're nurtured, and eventually our parents kind of set us out on our own. But we have to develop, we have to be taught as we're getting older. We have to do the same thing with ourselves as Christians and expect to also be taught if we're going to develop in our faith. Again, as 2 Peter 1 verses 5 through 9 says, "And giving all diligence, all the effort and all the work," Peter says, "add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love or charity." Because Peter goes on to say, if you remember these things, you will understand that you've been purged from who you used to be. You see, we can be 50 years along in life before we ever put on Christ, and guess what? We start from the beginning as Christians. I don't get to bring 50 years of past experience of who I used to be as the old individual and bring him into the new, other than saying that's how I don't want to be. And sometimes it requires time, and it requires patience, and it requires effort. You think about the aspect of patience, that's something really that comes with maturity, doesn't it? James talks about that in James chapter 1, 2 through 4. "Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." So patience is something that we have to develop. It requires time. In the letter to the Hebrews, the Hebrew writer talks about not forgetting the things which you had learned in Hebrews 2 and verse 1. The Hebrew writer says, "And we ought to give a more earnest thing to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we might let them slip." Pay attention to the past of what you learned to bring them into the future, that you continue to build on that foundation. He also reminds us and reminds them that they hadn't used their time wisely relative to growing as God desires. Brethren, we understand that life is fleeting, do we not? And we understand that one day this life is going to be no more, whenever that day might be for us. But if we're not prepared and we haven't grown and used the time as we ought to have used the time, we're going to answer for that on the day of judgment. And God is going to ask us, what have you been doing? You haven't redeemed the time as you should, as the Bible tells us to do. You haven't grown as you should be growing. So why aren't you further along in the developmental stage as a Christian is the question God might ask us. And can we say we've done all the things that require time and patience to grow as God's children? The writer goes on to say, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a child or a babe," Hebrews 5 and verse 13. You know, the Hebrew writer also talks about the first principles of the oracles of God, that we grow thereby. The basic foundation that we're building on this year, we've got to take what we already know and continue to add to those things. Because if we don't, the house is never going to get built. And you're never going to be able to occupy that which God wants you to live in, spiritually speaking. That our house is a temple, this body is a temple, that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, the latter part of chapter 3 there. You see, just because a new convert is 40 years old with a college education and is a CEO doesn't mean he's mature in spiritual matters. It doesn't mean they are where they need to be. When you think about the qualifications of elders in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, it says first and foremost that they're not a what? A novice. They've got to have experience. They raised a family. They have a certain temperament and a character and an attitude about them. Those things have been developed over time. God doesn't put somebody into the eldership that's 20 years old that might have a one-year-old and been married for a year and a half. Because they don't understand what it means to be mature in Christ, that they can also help other individuals get to heaven. So we too have to be able to spiritually mature, but that takes patience and that also takes time. But the Bible tells us there are consequences to immaturity. I read an article some time back about an 8-year-old who drove his father's car into the neighbor's house. And when he was asked why he did that, he said, "Well, Dad has let me sit on his lap about 3 or 4 times, so I thought I had this down pretty good." You see, a few times of sitting in his father's lap and driving the steering wheel, as I did when I was younger, doesn't mean he's ready to get behind the wheel and do it by himself. The name Corinth is synonymous with church problems, isn't it? So much so that Paul had to write 2 letters to the church at Corinth because of all the problems that they had with idolatry and improper worship and some of the other things. But you name it, they probably had it. And Paul rebuked them for not being spiritual in 1 Corinthians 3 and being carnal. That is, they were bringing the world into the church and they weren't being mature in Christ as they should have been. Paul said, "These things you already know. Why am I even having to tell you these things again?" Paul was probably absolutely frustrated with the church that he helped establish. These things he had taught to them and they had reverted back to their old ways. And he had to write to them these 2 letters. And after schooling them on what true Christian love was in 1 Corinthians 13, he reminds them what it was like for him to be childish. He said, "When I spoke as a child, I read as a child, I talked as a child, I was a child. But," he said, "when I put on Christ, I put away childish things." Brethren, sometimes we've got to grow up and be responsible Christians in the Lord's church. But sometimes we revert back to our youth and our spirituality and we use that as an excuse to say, "Well, maybe I just didn't know enough." Brethren, that excuse is not going to fly on the day of judgment. And there's consequences to that immaturity that we will stand before God and answer for. Paul said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child." But brethren, it's time for us to grow up and put away childish things. It's time for us to grow up and act like Christians, right? Paul had to stop acting childish, and he had to grow up. Just as if somebody tells us to act our age and to grow up. God, in essence, says, grow up and be a Christian. But here's the problem that we often face in the Lord's church, is that we don't always gauge spiritual maturity the way God gauges spiritual maturity. Paul wrote that the goal of his ministry and of ours was to help every Christian to mature in Christ. And if we're going to build upon that foundation, we have to want to do that. We have to not only want to help others grow, and sometimes to carefully rebuke or strongly rebuke or with a loving arm rebuke, so to speak, as we put our arm around them and say, "You know, maybe that wasn't the best thing or the best choice." Paul said, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Colossians 1 and verse 28. Perfect here means mature or complete. So a few things are more challenging, I think, in Christianity than trying to gauge spiritual maturity. Again, all of us here are at different levels of spiritual maturity. We're at different points along our way as Christians. And again, some are more mature than others. Age doesn't necessarily dictate that. But we've got to understand that inaccurate gauges of spiritual maturity can be harmful. So let me give you a few examples of how we incorrectly gauge spiritual maturity. The first is the attendance gauge. You see, merely attending service doesn't prove, per se, that you're spiritually mature. Ever heard somebody say this? Well, he's there every time the doors are open. I've known people who have been there every time the doors are open for 30-plus years and have never put on Christ in baptism. You see, just because you're here when the doors are open doesn't mean you're mature in Christ. It doesn't mean we're at the point where God wants us to be as God's children. Some are in the assembly against their will, or they simply want to mark to be present, or they don't want to listen to their spouse gripe at them because they stayed at home that day. You see, just because we're here doesn't mean we're mature in Christ and where we should be. You see, maturity shows us concerning our attendance that we're here because we love the Lord. Maturity shows that we're here because we want to worship God as He tells us to in John 4, verse 24. You see, maturity says, I love the Lord God and I follow His commandments, John 14, 15. And Jesus said, if you love me, that's exactly what you're going to do. So that's what spiritual maturity is concerning our attendance gauge. We cannot minimize church attendance because it's required, but in and of itself, it's really not a true gauge. We have folks who cannot be here or shut in that would rather be here that are probably more mature in relation than some folks. So we have to understand, just because we're here doesn't mean we're mature in Christ. Another gauge, the verbal gauge. You see, just because somebody says they believe in God doesn't mean they're mature. The Bible says in James 2 and verse 19, the demons also believed, but we know they weren't spiritually mature either. What the lips may say is not necessarily a true picture of what the heart says. Remember Proverbs 23 and verse 9 or 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our heart is a big determination of where we are spiritually speaking as God's children along in our development as Christians. And guess what? If our heart is not right, then our worship's not going to be right and our life is not going to be right. What about the involvement gauge? I'm certainly thankful for that percentage of Christians who are always making sure that they're engaged and involved in the Lord's work. Because unfortunately, we know some people just aren't going to do it. But if we waited around for individuals who weren't going to do the work, brethren, guess what? No work would ever get done. See, when we understand the concept of the involvement gauge in the various programs, and like our SEAL program that we're going to launch next week, and to be honest with you, I'll tell you this first and foremost, I was shocked at the response that we got for the SEAL team. I think, Johnny, we had almost 90% of the congregation, if not more, sign up for the SEAL teams. You know what that shows? It shows our heart is right. It shows that we want to be involved in the Lord's work, that we want to grow, that we want to help our communities, that we want to see people grow, and we want to help each other grow in Christ. That's bearing that burden and helping each other. That's what that shows to me. And sometimes being involved is not always fun, is it? Sometimes that we have to get our hands dirty and roll up our sleeves in the Lord's work. But an involvement gauge does show how much we love the Lord and want to see His church grow. Another gauge that's sometimes inaccurate is the age gauge. Right? Sometimes we think because somebody has gray hair and they've been here for 50 years means they're spiritually mature. Again, age is not an indication of our spiritual maturity. Though the Bible talks about the importance of the older teaching the younger, especially when you get into 1 Timothy chapter 3, and how important that is for us to understand. In some congregations, the words and attitudes of some of the older members are taken above what the Bible actually says. I can tell you one of my first works as a gospel preacher, one of my hardest, was first one that didn't have elders, and two, you had older members who thought they run the church and knew everything except the Bible. They knew everything except what the Word of God says they should do. And that was a hard and difficult thing for me as a young gospel preacher. Because I was looking to these older individuals as ones that I can pick their brain. I need your help. I need your encouragement. I need your advice on how to handle this situation. Biblically speaking, they knew nothing. But they said, this is how things are going to be done, and this is the way we want it done. That's not an indicator of spiritual maturity. You see, in some cases, when you think about our programs, and I'm thankful for the age saints and their contribution to the kingdom, but again, old age isn't a guarantee for spiritual maturity. But in most cases, as I've learned, it is. Because they've been around, and those are individuals that we can go to and say, brothers, sisters, how did you handle this situation? And what's best for me to handle that situation? You know, we have elders, leaders in the Lord's church that have spiritual maturity. That's why they're elders. That can help lead us in where we need to go. So we have to understand, if we're going to build upon our foundation this year, as the Bible tells us, we've got to look in the mirror and first determine where we are spiritually in our maturity. And that's where we have to be honest with ourselves and ask, am I where I need to be and where God wants me to be? Do I have some learning to do? Do I need to better fix myself as a child of God? Because guess what? I'm really a babe in Christ. And sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? For us to admit that maybe we're inexperienced. For us to say, you know what, I really don't know. That's a hard thing sometimes to say that, isn't it? Because somebody asks us, what do you mean you don't know? You've been a member of the church for 30 years. But yeah, I've still got some growing to do. You know what that says? That says spiritual maturity. A person who can say they don't know and say they need to grow and are mature enough to admit they need to grow is one who understands what it means to be spiritually mature. So ask yourself this morning as we begin this new year and as we begin to build on the foundation, that which is laid by Jesus Christ, that which we need to build on, that which we need to understand how we build upon that is the way God wants us to build upon that. And ask yourself this morning, are you spiritually mature as God wants you to be? And if not, then I'm not a proponent of New Year's resolutions, but make it one of the things you want to accomplish this year first and foremost, that you're maturing as God wants you to. And as you do that, you're going to grow, you're going to stumble, you're going to make mistakes, but we've got other people here to help you pick up and to carry on. If today, if you're here and you're not a child of God, but you want to begin that walk with Him, to begin your spiritual journey to becoming a mature Christian, it begins today with the first step of recognizing that you're not in Christ. And that's a big first step, to say, I'm not right with God. If you're ready to put all of your heart, soul, and mind, and body into everything He's told you to do, and being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, first repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that He died on the cross for you, and putting on Christ in baptism today, as Paul was told, what are you waiting on? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16. That begins your journey to spiritual maturity. That's your first step. And we can help you with that today. What a better way to begin this year than starting out as a member of the Lord's church. And if you're here this morning as a child of God and you aren't developing as you ought to be developing, if you feel your growth has been stunted, so to speak, and how you should be growing in Christ, let us help you with that today. Let us encourage you. Let us pray for you. Let us do this together as we begin 2018. Let us stand and sing. Okay.